It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate right around the UAE, even after the rain. Yes, we are here multiple times during the week, as heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. It's a Tuesday morning, the 23rd day of April. Not a lot left in the month, and May will be here soon enough. And good morning to Zelda and Kevin in Toronto, Canada. You have emailed through saying that you're still eyeing up the property market despite the water problems. A lot of it can be overblown and talked up, you say. Well, we were going to be talking about that this morning, but thank you for your email. Stay in touch and let us know how that property journey goes. And if you'd like to email through, the email address is dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com. Arabian Business, they are talking about Ajman's real estate, as we have been talking about with Mario, and he's coming up in just a moment. They have highlighted the growth over the past year with transactions surging by over 26%. And interestingly, in the first quarter of this year, real estate transactions in the emirate reached 4.3 billion dirhams. Now, that is a big jump compared to the same period. And here is the man himself who has talked about Ajman as well as other emirates, keeping it real multiple times during the week. Mario Volpi, good morning.
Good morning, Craig, and good morning to all the listeners from a dry Dubai.
Yeah, dry Dubai. That is nice to say, because on Saturday's property market update, the panel discussion, we talked a lot about the wet event that took place in Dubai. And that is not to say that other emirates were spared, because Sharjah was very much under the water, as were other parts, Mario.
Yeah, Sharjah was particularly badly hit. Even at the moment, there are still sort of certain areas where getting around can prove to be a little bit problematic. As I say, we are getting back on our feet. The one good thing about Dubai and the Emirates around is that no matter what happens to it, the governments move very, very quickly to alleviate all the issues, despite the shocking scenes that we saw last week.
Yeah, and the cleanup is continuing, as you say, and I said it on Saturday that something has got to give. I understand that different heads of government entities have been spoken to on ways to be more prepared. Now, do you know anything more about that?
Yeah, it was reported that Dubai's Crown Prince, Sheikh Hamdan, has directed heads of government entities to develop a proactive plan to enhance Dubai's preparedness for dealing with unexpected weather conditions. Quite what these plans are have yet to be disclosed, but I'm sure they will include changes to the fabric of how property, especially villas and townhouses, are built. Drainage, for example, putting in storm drains is very important, maybe building these properties on slightly elevated land. I mean, most of the roofs on villas are flat. And so I'm sure that in the future, roofs will have a 10 or perhaps a 20 degree tilt to allow for water to run into gullies and drain pipes.
Yeah, and I do hate to say this, but normally the people that have to pay for this is the poor old property owner. Are you hearing any rumblings or suggestions on costs being paid by people? Because not all insurance fine print is the same.
Well, I suspect that if we're talking about tower blocks and things, for sure, service charges will need to be increased in order to allow for maintenance to make windows and seals stormproof in towers. As I mentioned, drainage and also on balconies, because attention has to be paid to this. I mean, multi-million pound cars, for example, were left stranded in garages due to the flooding. And talking about insurance companies, well, the storm obviously took everybody by surprise, but insurance companies, as usual, have given their response, and many people are not happy with the sort of default answers. Just to give you a clue, if you have a car that was in a garage that was affected by the rain and the water, then they will actually be paying out on that. However, what they're now starting to say, because of there's so many claims, is that if you are out driving in the rain, then they may not necessarily pay out, because they're saying, well, you shouldn't have been out knowing the conditions.
Yeah, this is the vagaries of insurance companies. I mean, people right now, as you say, they're dealing with the insurance companies. And again, I've seen this happen before with insurance companies putting up the premiums. We will talk about that in just a moment. But it's an odd thing regarding driving your car and being caught out. Yeah, so some developers, I understand, they're doing the right thing. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, Craig. I mean, at the beginning, it was Emaar. Emaar were one of the first developers to actually come out and say that they would help, closely followed by MAG. And they said they would repair all the properties in their communities which were damaged during the heavy rains, and more importantly, free of costs. Now, this will obviously go some way to alleviate the suffering that some homeowners or landlords have faced since the storm hit. But this action will no doubt put pressure on other developers to follow suit. Otherwise, future buyers may look unfavorably on those developers that have not helped during these difficult times, perhaps preferring to buy from companies such as Emaar or MAG in the future, knowing that should anything happen again, these companies would step up.
No, it is a very relevant point. So what the developer, especially one of the top four, they can either say, no, not going to help you, or they step into this whole PR position. And that's what it is. Let's not kid ourselves. This is a PR situation where they're going to get a lot of added press value, and the whole way that somebody might perceive a developer is enhanced. And that's what you've got to be thinking. You've always got to be ahead of the curve. And the other point to what you just raised is, when you are buying a property, just ask about mitigation. What happens in that situation of something that floods your property out?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully going forward, and if we have these episodes again, hopefully developers will have come to the table and, as we say, mitigate these issues by creating more storm drains, you know, proper roofs, downpipes, guttering, this kind of thing, better seals. So hopefully we won't have that problem. But if they don't, then clearly the developers that have stepped up to the mark, like Emaar and MAG, are undoubtedly going to be ahead of other people, because I definitely wouldn't want to buy a property that either hasn't been built to the standards of these future weather conditions, because I don't want to paint the picture that these developers are not building good quality housing. They are, but these are extraordinary times. And of course, they've been inundated with this water. It's never happened as much as it has. So perhaps going forward, if they are going to change things or step up to the mark, then people will have that choice. But the ones that don't, I think are missing a trick. But you're right, it is a PR opportunity, and definitely one that the two developers that I mentioned have jumped on straight away.
Yeah, because, you know, MAG and Emaar, we're talking about them in a positive way because what they're doing for you. Now, that's the developers. I just want to come back to keeping a watchful eye on what you are being charged when it comes to premiums with your insurance policies. It is very well documented that global warming and the extortion in some cases with insurance companies overcharging you with jacked up prices doesn't really hold up with the maths of property damage caused through global events. Yes, everybody knows and everybody expects premiums to move up as a result of floods and the droughts, etc., but not beyond the metric of actual damage and heightened risks to insurance companies. Experts have already said some companies only see floods as a way of overcharging premiums. So be very, very careful in all of that.
Yeah, but Craig, don't forget, I mean, today we're talking about floods and things. Who hasn't had hassle dealing with insurance, whether it's theft, whether it's damage, in this case, floods? We have to either read the small print, we then find out that something isn't covered. You think you're buying these premiums to cover yourself. And then there's always a battle with insurance companies. We know that. It comes part and parcel of the game, really.
Yes, indeed it does. And I can't believe with all this rain, we're going to be talking about swimming pools. People are thinking, why are you talking about swimming pools? That doesn't make any sense. But let's talk about swimming pools because more records are being broken and you've got the details.
That's right, Craig. Dubai has world record breakers for the deepest, the longest and highest swimming pools in the world. So let's start by looking at Deep Dive Dubai, which has a depth of 60 meters and is recognized as the deepest pool in the world. And at the bottom of which there's like a sunken city with cars, motorbikes and other items for divers to explore. The longest is within One Zabil, which is the longest suspended pool. And it's located on the top of what's known as the Link, which itself is a world record holder in being the longest cantilever on a building. This cantilever connects two buildings, but the pool itself is 120 meters long and is located 100 meters above the ground. Now, if we turn our attention to the highest category, this has several contenders. The highest 360-degree infinity pool is on the 50th floor of Palm Tower, which is on Palm Jumeirah. It's called Aura Sky Pool, and it's 210 meters high. The highest outdoor infinity pool is on the 77th floor of the Address Beach Hotel. That's at the end of JBR, and that's located just under 294 meters high. Lastly, according to Guinness World Records, the two highest outdoor overflow pools are on the 75th floor of the SLS Hotel Dubai, and these are at a height of 325 meters, so right up into the sky.
So there you go. If you need to know any of those Guinness Book of Records, Mario is right across them. Hey, I also want to ask you, it was only last week we were talking about if somebody wanted to come on as a guest, write to us, email us at dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com and we will get you on the Saturday podcast. This is the panel. But maybe we should also throw open, if you want to discuss what happened with the water with you, if you've got any sort of problems with your insurance, what are your thoughts with regards to what is happening in Dubai? If you've been affected, let us know. The email address is dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com. I think that would be interesting to hear from people, Mario.
Definitely. And to take a different take on things. See, for example, me, I'm in an apartment, I'm high up. There was some water flooding on the ground floor level, but nothing like some of the videos that maybe some of the listeners had seen in those villa communities where literally the water was up to your waist level. So I didn't experience that. So if a listener, you know, has experienced that, it'd be great to actually hear what trials and tribulations they had and are having.
Exactly. All right, we'll leave it there. Great to chat. Not so great to be talking about people being maybe a little bit ripped off when it comes to the insurance premiums and, of course, some of the damage. But I think the takeaway is don't drive your car if you've got an expensive one when it rains.
Absolutely right, yeah. But the takeaway, Craig, is this. Dubai moves quickly to put things right. That's what I want the listeners to understand as well.
Grab your weekly dose of inspiration to help build a real estate portfolio. We talk to the best in the business every day. Learn from the professionals and know your property with us.
You are going to tell us a little bit about how Jumeirah Park held up in the storm. So what can you tell us on that front?
Virtually everyone was affected. It was just a matter of how badly. I had a lot of clients send me videos of leaks coming in around windows and doors, which is a common theme, as we know, as seals dry out in the sweltering heat. However, one or two homes weren't so lucky and quite a bit of water inside, particularly in District 9, actually, where kind of a more of a flat roof profile. The legacy units found in the rest of Jumeirah Park tend to have a more of a camber tile roof. which is obviously what you want when it comes to heavy rainfall. So yeah, quite a bit of suffering over there. But yeah, I completely agree with you as well, Craig. Yes, we don't have that much rain over here, but I mean, look, we talk about rainfall, like there was roads collapsing and everything over here, Craig, you know, so it's becoming quite an issue.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.